Blog Talk Radio. This is Whirl with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I decided to do the show later than usual to make sure that the people calling in had time to call and were on their schedule. It's dark. It's cloudy. It's supposed to rain tonight. I was just on the phone with Andrew Douglas from the New York Sharks. They're practicing right now. And in the meantime, as they've planned it out, Andrew, Crystal, and heck knows who else, and I now have two kitties. I think they're like 8 weeks old. And absolutely adorable. They're brothers. Yes, from the same litter, brothers. It was really tough telling them apart, too, I must say. I finally figured out it was around the nose. That was it. And I guess as their personalities develop, I'll be able to tell them even better. They're, I guess, tabbies. I don't know. I don't know what kind of breed they are. Can't tell if they're long hair or short hair, because they're still babies. And they definitely have Velcro on their paws, if you know what I mean. I named one Theo for a particular reason, as in theobromide, chocolate, which actually will be my first caller this evening, is going to be Joseph Winnie from Theo Chocolates in Seattle. And I named the other one Max, after my father. I've been sending pictures all over the place. They are adorable. And they get into everything. And they're owning the house. And, well, you know. Well, and after Joseph Winnie calls, we should have Chef Chris Salati from McCormick and Schmick's seafood restaurant here in New York City. I want to talk about seafood. How do you choose it? What's the best? How do they choose it? And also, did you ever wonder about what goes into a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum? I mean, and how it goes in, what the whole criteria stuff, what we got. Well, I don't think originally I believe it was Michael Hirsch, the GM, was supposed to call. I hope you don't mind. Every once in a while, I got to tell my kitties to excuse me. Come on, get away from there. Get away from there. I have one kitty. I have things with wires, and I hate that. But you know how kitties are. They think they own. They can do what they want. And come on, come on. Come on, scoot, scoot, scoot. Either scoot or come sit. I'm just bringing one back on my lap. To hell with it. And anyway, so that's what we have for the evening. When Joseph Winnie calls, I'm going to be doing a chocolate tasting here, too. It'll be quite interesting. I won't taste all of them because otherwise I'll freak out from the theobromides. It is first time for, which one I'm going to have to do. Speaking of chocolate, So we have, hang on. I'm not telling you, I'm talking about the cat. Yeah, they got claws, that's the claws too. Anyway, so our sponsor because of chocolate.
What would you do to earn brownie points?
How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale. Yes, and you can get it at brownies.com. Here they go. Claws, I'll tell you, this really sharp. I'm going to be teaching them quite young that they're going to get their clawsies clipped. I'll probably do that tonight. I know how to clip claws. You got to be very careful when you clip the claws of cats or dogs. But you could, if you got to look carefully, and you could see. I don't know what you call it, but you can see in their claw where it when it starts to turn a dark color into the claw, that's what you have to have not clip, because that's where you can hurt them. But I will be quite careful with that. And as we're still, I certainly hope Joseph calls in. But in the meantime, let's see. So what's coming up? Oh, so I was saying with the Sharks won last week. Well, they said they crushed the Crushers, 40-14, I believe. And the Sharks have taken 3 of the 4 games so far, and we'll see what happens. I have to make sure it doesn't rain this Saturday. We don't want it to rain on anybody's parade. While we're waiting, although I have other sponsors, very important, while we're waiting, let's put it this way. Do you know that 9 out of 10 people who are constipated don't give a shit? Or perhaps they should. As over the years, the walls of your intestines tend to be caked on, not with just burgers and fries, but foods with all those additives and preservatives, causing disease, damage to your immunity system, and lack of energy. I know that daily recommended supply of eating 31 fruits and vegetables can be a hard concept to swallow. But not anymore, thanks to Celneek, delicious organic drinks in 5 flavors, vanilla citrus, tropical fruit, apple, pomegranate, and kukicha tea. Sweetened with agave, there are no added sugars. And a 12-ounce bottle ranges from 84 to only 127 calories. So take the 21-day challenge by following the 4 daily steps to cellular fitness: nourish, cleanse, alkalinize, and live consciously. What was it just doing? Hey, would somebody bring me a bottle of that Celneek, please? Yeah, I can get more information on Celneek at Celneek, which is CELNIQUE.com. And, yes, the 21-day challenge. Well, I think I've done it for, it's got to be at least 2 weeks or so, because I don't have that many left in my refrigerator. And energy. let me tell you, energy. Energy is the keynote to this whole thing. I probably learned how to get to sleep, meaning that I got to watch out when I drink it. I don't drink it like after like 6 o'clock, you know. When Joseph calls with all the chocolate, that'll be interesting. Now you have to. I'm talking to Michael Kitty now. Now listen, Max. You know, what he tends to do is he play, but then he keeps trying to bite my fingers too, and I have to teach him, you know, not to bite. I mean, they're playing with each other and they're biting each other. But so anyway, all right. So we're still waiting for the call, and in the interim, let's do. Yes, well, you know, my favorite, my music, because I like that music from, that program. I need some more Selnik from Notting Hill. Yeah.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. House just ain't no home anytime she goes away. And I know, 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 I know. Hey, I ought to leave the young thing alone, but ain't no sunshine when she's sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home anytime she goes away.
Okay, well, I'm trying to get Joseph Winnie, but here we go.
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe a hundred different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, maybe the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dreams, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell.
I'm trying all in again. Buffalo chicken wings, five pieces, not five wings, five pieces for $5. Okay. And I ordered a souvlaki, which is with chunks of pork. And it had, it came with a Greek salad and pita bread. and that was like $8. So the entire thing came to $14.10, plus, of course, the tip. Okay, so let's start that to have the chicken wings. Now, I don't know what they think buffalo wings are, but I was wondering, they didn't even ask me, do I want it like mild, spicy, hot, or anything. There was absolutely no sauce, nothing that made them spicy at all. Tiny little things. And the blue cheese dressing was like, obviously like out of a, you know, not even like chunks of blue cheese in it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And that arrived lukewarm. But now I get to the pork, and I'm eating the pork, And I'm finding slivers of bones. I mean, these are chunks of pork. There should be no bones about it at all. And again, this was also lukewarm. I decided this is enough. So I call them up and I speak to the owner. His name Michael. The owner Michael and Paul are the owners. And they're not. Well, it doesn't matter that they're not from the neighborhood, but okay, they're not from the neighborhood. There's been diners there. They've opened and closed. There's been actually a diner there for many, many years called Forest View, and then someone else tried taking over. Didn't work out because of health hazard. Too many points, they had to close them down. Okay. Now, I call the guy up. I speak to Michael, and I tell him, and he says he doesn't understand why. I said, I don't know either. And then he says, do you want something else? Now, I really didn't want anything else. Why would I, you know, considering how it arrived and everything, I said no. And he said, do you want your money back? I said, yes. So he sends the guy, the delivery guy comes over, and he hands me exactly the $8. And I call him back, and Michael's not there. Paul answers the phone. And I say, you charged me tax for this. Why didn't you give, how come you don't give me back the tax? And Paul said something like, well, he didn't know how much of the food I ate. I mean, so far, I'm appalled. I mean, like, here I'm finding bones, and I'm giving to them back to show them that there's bones. And he's, and also, whatever the garlic dressing there was for this stuff, I mean, they must have had overput the garlic powder. I mean, obviously was not, you know, real garlic in it. And so the guy comes back and brings me, obviously didn't understand English, because he opens up his hand and says, they told me to give you 25 cents, and in his hand is 70 cents. So I'm getting this back. So you got to get that this winds up costing me, for five tiny little wing pieces, about $7, because that's $5 plus the tax and the tip I gave for the entire thing. Now, if you go across the street and you get Chinese wings, you can get four whole wings for less than $3. Now, I'm appalled enough on this whole thing, and I decided, I mean, next week, I'm going to have an article next week, and I decided to go on online, and you can, in New York City at least, you can check out the health department on how many points regarding with the restaurants and when the inspection points. And they just recently opened, and last month it was 26. Now, if you go over 25, they have to reinspect. That's how bad. So my feeling was that they're not, that instead of Oh, the guy had said to me he's going to talk to his butcher, and it never happened again. I have a feeling that because it was the salad and whatever, that this was on the counter, that these pieces of bone, which definitely could have choked me, were probably on the counter or something. I don't think they know what's going in and out of the kitchen, obviously. And so, you know, I am definitely going to report this. Now, I also go online to look at to see if there's any reviews. And there was one of this place called Active Diner. And I decide to put a negative review of this. And it's there. And then all of a sudden the next day, it's gone and replaced with a little thing about someone who dined there, sure, and it was a really nice place or whatever. So obviously Active Diner is not interested in reviews. They're interested in positive stuff because I think, I'm sure there must be some advertising involved, and they must have seen it and said, well, take it off, otherwise I'm not going to advertise. A point being, of course, well, what's, you know, then if you're going to ask people to review, and then why bother? Well, let's see. It's 8:28. I'm now. Oh, okay. Well, who am I waiting for next? I'm waiting for McCormick and Schmicks to call in. Hopefully they'll call in. I'm not sure what's happening. I don't know why. It's not as if I don't see anything. Let's see. no, Barbara, don't bother to call. Well, okay. Apparently, I'm not sure who I have on the line right now, but doesn't look like a 212 number. So let's see who I got. So who do I have on the air?
Hi, Merle. This is Chef Chris Salati from McCormick & Schmicks. How are you?
Oh, okay, because I see a number that doesn't look like a 212 number. I'm going, okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you?
Okay. Did you happen to take a glance at the Queens Times by any chance?
I did. Some great pictures, huh?
Oh, yeah. Good shots, huh?
Yeah. Thanks very much for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a pleasure having you in the other day. It was really nice to, you know, get to know you in person a little bit.
I love the place. And what I wanted to kind of discuss is the topic of seafood. Now, how you choose not only the seafood, but the menu is basically like, is it every lunch and every dinner that's changed? Or just a day?
Yeah, you know what it is we print our menus twice every day, once for lunch and once for dinner. Mm-hmm. Some things are pretty regular and normal on our menu. You know, there's some certain things. Actually, the stuffed salmon that you featured in the Queens Times today, that's something that's always on our menu. It's just a really great dish, and a lot of people like it. But there's also a good part of the menu that, you know, we have a lot of leeway to just choose what's fresh and local and, you know, what's best in season, and we can – you know, go to the market and pick out some great fish or talk to our fish vendors, and just whatever's the best is what we want to buy and what we want to serve to, you know, the public in New York.
So, I mean, so is it every single day that you're doing this then?
Yeah, we change at least a few things just about every day. You know, whatever looks best, we're going to grab it and we're going to do something with it. You know, sometimes you'll see some things on and off the menu, you know, throughout different seasons. And sometimes we'll just, you know, especially on the lunch menu, there's some, you know, lunch specialty items that we just, you know, we'll give them a try for a couple of days. And if we get a good response from them, great, we'll keep them on. If not, you know, we just mess around with something else until we find all the winners.
When it comes to seafood, I mean, can you taste the difference between a fish that comes from one area and another area?
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, certainly sometimes. There's some, you know, as we were speaking the other day about scallops, there's some just terrific scallops coming out of Massachusetts, and, you know, when bay scallops are available from Nantucket Bay, they're just so incredibly sweet and just tender, if you prepare them right, that is. Where you might get some other stuff, you know, that maybe is a wet scallop or a scallop from, you know, China Bay scallops that are previously frozen or things like that. That you know, they just kind of lose some of their character from taking them so far away from where they were and soaking them in different things. So, you know, I definitely think that, you know, fish from certain areas are just very different, although they might be the same species. You know, you can take salmons, for example, and, you know, there's an Atlantic salmon, which you rarely see wild anymore. They're mostly farmed. And then there's, you know, the wild Alaskan king salmons, which are just becoming available this season right now, that are just, you know, in my opinion, far better quality and flavor than some of the farm-raised stuff that we can get here locally.
Yeah, there's been a whole thing about the different, whether to get wild or farmed. And I guess wild is better, if that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's certainly some really great farmed fish out there, don't get me wrong. You know, we've come a really long way in the aquaculture technology. But, you know, when we can get wild, I think it's a good thing to do for the most part. You know, it keeps its locality and regionality fresh, and, you know.
Now, what is the difference, other than size, what is the difference between bay scallops and sea scallops?
You know, size is kind of the major thing there, but the sea scallops don't tend to be quite as sweet as some of the bay scallops. You know, like I mentioned earlier, the Nantucket bay scallops in particular, and we also had this season some really great pecanic bay scallops, you know, off of Long Island there. You know, they don't caramelize as well, generally, the bay scallops. They're not as high in natural sugars, but they really have that explosive sweetness in your mouth, where the sea scallops, you know, have much flatter edges, and you can sear them really nicely and get a really great caramelization out of them.
Which is the smaller one?
The bay scallop is the smaller.
The bay scallops are the smaller one. So the New Bedford scallops that I had, those were
sea scallops. Those were U10s, which stands for under 10 per pound. So those were nice large sea scallops from Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite dishes on the menu right now.
So when I'm going to be going off to the Cape, so I should stop in both places, like go near Bedford, New Bedford, and get one kind of scallop, and then go to Nantucket and get the other kind of scallop?
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun, really, to kind of check out the differences, and, you know, maybe you can give me the report back on what you found.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna do that. That'll be pretty good. Then let me then ask you, like, okay, so now you're going shopping, and you want to buy fresh fish. What do you look for, and who do you go?
You know, there's a few things. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind that, you know, you probably have heard a lot is, you know, you want to use your senses. The fish shouldn't smell real fishy. It shouldn't be sticky or slimy. It should just be nice and moist. If you see the whole fish, you know, if you go to a fishmonger that actually has whole fish and he's going to fillet it or she's going to fillet it for you, you want to take a look at the eyes and make sure they're nice and clear, or that the gills are nice and red and bright and moist. That's kind of the obvious stuff, you know, to a lot of people that deal with seafood or that have a lot of experience buying seafood. But I think it's just so valuable to have a good relationship with your fish cutter, with your fishmonger. You know, whether there's a local place in your neighborhood, you know, there's a couple great places right here in New York City, on the west side particularly, you know, there's a few stores there that are great. Build relationships with some of these people out there, and they'll really steer you the right way. You know, you kind of can't go wrong, you know, when you have a good relationship. You know, you go in maybe a couple times a month or even just, you know, once a month or so to pick up, you know, this or that. You know, these people start to recognize you, and they'll really steer you in the right direction.
Do you think there's any, well, not a difference, but is there any better, let's say I'm going to, like, a Stop and Shop, mm-hmm. and you know, I go up to the fish counter. Am I getting any less or more fresh than if I go to a store that's a fish store?
Right. You know, sometimes I'm sure some of these larger supermarkets probably have some pretty decent stuff, especially live shellfish, because once, you know, as long as it's alive, it's most likely going to be of pretty good quality. You certainly don't want to get anything that's, you know, any shellfish that's not alive. as long as it's still on the shell. I think overall you may have better luck in some of the, you know, fish butchers and things around your neighborhoods, but certainly in some of the supermarkets you'll find some good things. A lot of the stuff you might find there is previously frozen and thawed, which isn't always bad, you know. A lot of times people think of frozen seafood or frozen fish as, you know, the fish sticks that we used to have growing up or things like
yeah,
that.
Right, yeah.
Right? But technology, like I said earlier with aquaculture, technology in the frozen fish department has also come a really long way. You know, there's super frozen product now where the product is actually caught, cut, and froze right there on the boat. You know, the fishermen are doing it themselves. I would say probably some of the best tuna I've had recently is a super frozen product. And as long as it's handled right and thawed properly, and this is really great stuff, it's just about fresher than fresh because it was frozen right there, you know, a few minutes from coming out of the water.
Would you consider that like sushi-grade tuna when it's like that, or?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You know, there's some really great, you know, tuna is graded in numbers, basically, and there's some really great number one plus, which is pretty much the best you can get in tuna. That's a super frozen product, and it's really, you know, very tender. It has great color and flavor.
Now, the other thing I kind of want to get into is you guys do a whole thing with oysters.
Right.
Now, and so again, with that, you're just like asking around where the oysters are, and does it really matter about the when to buy them?
Well, you know, sometimes you hear about the don't buy oysters in the months with R's.
Yeah.
That's not so much true anymore. That's you know, that's some pretty old school stuff there when refrigeration wasn't all it is now, when transportation isn't all that it is now. You know, now you can certainly get oysters from around the world. Into your own refrigerator within a couple of days of them being out of the water. So, you know, although that probably did make sense once upon a time, these days I think it's fine to, you know, get oysters in any month of the year, you know. And then the locality of the oyster, if you want to pick an East Coast or West Coast, they certainly have different flavor profiles where the East Coast tend to be a little saltier, brinier. On the West Coast, you have a sweeter, you know, you often heard.
Really? On the West Coast?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, West Coasts are generally sweeter. You hear them referred to as, you know, having a melon finish or an iceberg lettuce finish, things that leave your palate very cleanly.
Oh, so in other words, like, you know, I'm looking on the menu, like I had James River oysters from, well, that's Virginia.
Right.
Then I had Carlsbad blonde oysters from Carlsbad, California.
Correct.
So in other words, I would expect then the one in Virginia to be more briny than the one in California?
Yeah, absolutely. The Carlsbad you had were probably sweeter on the tongue and probably finished a lot cleaner in your mouth, where the James River, although the James River from Virginia aren't a particularly salty East Coast oyster, they still probably had more of a briny, salty flavor to them, which some people prefer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, salty doesn't mean bad in oysters, that's for sure.
Now, in terms of eating oysters, I mean, I've actually been in a contest, so I didn't get to actually eat the oyster, as opposed to let it just fall down my throat. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, you should, right? Chew the oyster so you can get the taste, right? Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I like to take a couple bites on it. It kind of, you get the you know, the little pop of the oyster in your mouth, and all the flavors kind of come out. You don't necessarily want to, you know, chew it the same way you would a top sirloin or something like that, but to take a good couple nice chomps out of it, I think, is a good thing to really get, you know, all the oyster liqueur out of the belly of the oyster and really into your mouth and just experience the whole, you know, the flavor. It should be similar to the flavor of the sea where it came from.
Now, would you, let's say, like, I'm going to, since I'm going to be on Cape Cod, and I'll be in Provincetown. While I'm in Provincetown, I know the oysters, they're always Wellfleet oysters. Now, do they have them just because that's the local one? Is that why, you know, it's the only one around?
Yeah, it could be. They probably want to promote their, you know, their location and kind of, you know, keep it local and fresh. Wellfleet oysters are a really good oyster, though. I certainly wouldn't shy away from them, even not being on the Cape.
Oh, okay. Actually, I had told you the best ones I've had so far are the Apalachicola,
right,
Florida.
Yeah, That's very good, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not going down there soon, so I'll have to settle for something else.
Right. Well, the Northeast has plenty of great oysters for you to check out and experience.
Now, how can you tell, like, when you're getting oysters, whether you're getting fresh? In other words, let's say, and I've gone to an occasion where, let's say you go to an all-you-can-eat something, and they have oysters on the half shell. Would that be, you know, would I want to sort of steer away from it?
No, I mean, hopefully you're, you know, at an all-you-can-eat place that, you know, has a good name for themselves. But certainly as long as they're handled properly, they're great. I mean, I think there's enough people out there these days that really do like oysters that, you know, they don't sit around restaurants too long. You know, we order them in and, you know, they kind of fly out the door. We actually had one woman come in this morning and just sat down, and her whole lunch consisted of about 6 dozen oysters. You know, and I think that some of these places that you can go for, you know, different buffets or brunches that feature oysters, you know, as long as they look right to you and they smell good and they smell right, I would go for it myself.
So in other words, if you're smelling them, they should smell almost like not to have a pungent smell. In other words, how would you know, like, how would you detect something that's not good? What would you say that the odor would be toward?
You know, it's kind of horrible to say, but I guess you might get kind of a rotten egg smell out of them sometimes, or, you know, depending on the oyster, it could be almost an ammoniated smell.
Okay.
You know, but you get almost a gassy smell out of them sometimes. But certainly a good fresh oyster should, you know, it should be fully intact. It shouldn't look like it's all beat up or, you know, been tossed around at all. It should be just sitting in the bottom of the shell with some liquid around it, nice and shiny and wet. If you see a dry oyster, that might be one you might not want to grab. You know, and if it has really any smell other than just fresh seawater, you might want to pass on that one. But for the most part, you know, as long as they smell and look, you know, like they were just freshly opened or just came out of the water recently, dive right in.
Okay. Well, let's go into some of your other specialties that you have there. You have any particular signature dishes?
You know, we just started a new dish tonight, actually. A red snapper dish and a pesto broth with some artichoke hearts and sun-dried tomatoes and some grilled garlic baguette, which is really great. You know, so this
excuse
is one
me,
of
well,
your...
Excuse me while I get a napkin. The drool is coming down the side of my mouth.
Well,
good, then
it's
yeah.
You know, so that's an example of one that we're going to check out and try. And if it works and we get a good response on it, you know, maybe it'll stick, maybe it'll stay. You know, if not, we'll try something different. But it is a great dish, though. I can't see how this one is going to fail me. So that's a new great one. We also do a seared Chilean sea bass, which, you know, there's been so much controversy over Chilean sea bass for the, you know, for years and years and years. And, you know, we actually, as a company, we stayed away from it for a very long time and just recently kind of got back into it. We buy our Chilean sea bass. I just got booted.
You just got what?
Oh, hello. You still there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got a message saying I was off the host key.
Oh, really?
But in any case, good. I'm glad I'm still here. You know, we're now buying our Chilean sea bass only from one vessel. There's actually only one fishing vessel that we're buying from, and it is Marine Steward Councilship certified to be, you know, fished the proper ways and not endangered and things. So that's something that we're featuring on our menu right now as well, with a wild mushroom risotto, some grilled baby bok choy, and a ponzu vinaigrette that, you know, really hits the spot a lot of times.
Wow, I'm coming in for lunch tomorrow.
Well, you know where to find us.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, all right. Now, let's say somebody says, you know, bring somebody along, and they say, please, I'm allergic to seafood. So what do you got for me?
Not a problem at all. Yeah, you know, we have a really great, actually, red meat section on our menu as well. You know, that was one thing that we try really hard to do, is we don't want that veto vote. You know, we don't want a group of six coming in, oh, let's go to McCormick's Mix, get some seafood, and then have that one person, ooh, you know, I really don't like seafood, or I'm allergic to clams. So we make sure we have things on the menu that will just bring anybody in. You know, we have different sizes of filet mignon. We've got a great New York steak, 22-ounce ribeye. Bone-in ribeye, it's great. We do a half free-range chicken. I have multiple pasta dishes. You know, on and off, we'll do different pork chops. Sometimes I do a smoked pork chop or a stuffed pork chop. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of other options on our menu, lunch and dinner both, where you can stay away from seafood. Happy hour as well. We have a great happy hour program. You know, the bar stays packed most of the time. It's a great place to hang out. It's a really cool bar. You know, we have a lot of options on there. Some are seafood, some aren't. I heard you talking about wings a little bit earlier, and we got some great wings.
Yeah, so, like, what kind of items do you have to eat at the bar? Are they different from what's on the menu, regular menu?
Yeah, very different, actually. Our happy hour menu is a very inexpensive menu. It's, we start with we have four items on there for $1.95. We have a half-pound cheeseburger for $2.95. You know, I haven't done a lot of research on this, but I would probably say that that's the best deal in town.
You know, you realize it's funny to say that's the best deal in town when you go back to how hamburgers were so inexpensive, and now it's true. When you go, wow, it's only that?
Right. It's, you know, it's a real half-pound, you know, fresh-made in-house cheeseburger for $3.
Yeah, that's,
but we also
that's the key word, fresh meat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm sorry. And what other things do you have beside that?
Well, we have, you know, for things like the $1.95, we have tuna skewers, you know, kind of seared rare, kind of a tuna yakitori almost. We do different flavored French fried potatoes, actually, that go really great with some of the bar drinks that we have on our menu. There's also a shrimp pita pizza. We do some hummus that we make in-house with whole wheat pita bread that's just really great. Let's see. Of course, we're doing wings on the bar menu. Who doesn't like wings, you know, with a beer here and there? You know, so there's things like that. We also do actually some shrimp lettuce wraps with hydro bib lettuce, really tender, you know, and nice. So, you know, there's a good variety of things. There's probably close to 20 things on our happy hour menu that,
cool.
You know, kind of are a little bit for everyone.
Now, I don't know whether to assume or not. If I went to a McCormick and Schmick someplace else, am I going to see a different menu for the day?
Yeah, our menus definitely vary, you know, throughout the country. There's some things that you'll find on most of the menus. You know, like I was saying earlier, that stuffed salmon, you'll see that around.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what's great about what we're doing is they really leave a lot of the menu up to the chef of that particular restaurant so that, you know, we can really keep it fresh and local.
Okay. So in other words, the fresh list in Manhattan may be completely different from the fresh list in Boston then.
Yeah, yeah. It'll actually be considerably different, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I mean,
okay.
you know, definitely check us out first.
Yeah. Do you think, by the way, you think you can compare, like, in terms of the steaks? I know a lot of steak places, steak houses.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you can match up on that?
Yeah, certainly. I really do. You know, our concept is a little bit different, and we don't have, you know, a lot of the big side dishes that you might get
right.
at a steakhouse, you know, but certainly the quality of our red meat is just as good as just about any steakhouse that's right around my restaurant on 52nd and 6th Avenue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know what you mean. I know which ones. I'll leave those names out. I've actually been disappointed with a couple of them, but for different reasons. I mean, like what is the one? Bennett. What's that one?
Yeah, Ben Benson's right across.
Ben Benson. I've been disappointed with them. First of all, and I don't know what it is. It's like you go to a steakhouse. Is there a particular reason why they don't have any waitresses? They're all male waiters.
You know, I'm not sure the reason for that.
I don't know what's behind that, but I've been, you know, and I'm sorry, so I was disappointed in Gallagher's too. You know, it wasn't. I don't know. Neither of them. It was like, yeah, they're good. I think sometimes what happens is the name hangs for a long time. And it just and at some point they don't live up to him. But I'll definitely have to do a steak at your place. You know, it never even occurred to me to do a steak.
Absolutely. We actually have on our appetizer menu a little twist on the surf and turf with some peppered beef carpaccio and vanilla steamed lobster paired together as an appetizer. That's a really great way to check out, you know, both the surf and the turf before your main entree.
Okay. Yeah, well, when I get a chance, I have to come back. I want to do a thing regarding happy hour and take some photos. I do have from a long time ago. I did a whole thing when I was actually shucking oysters.
Oh,
okay. They taught me how to shuck oysters, and I was doing that. And I had to
did
some photos of that. But so now I understand that you've worked in a few McCormick Schmicks.
Yeah, actually, I have. This is my third McCormick and Schmicks that I've been at. Yeah, that's right. I've been with the company for going on 9 years now.
Oh, cool. What's your background?
You know, I kind of grew up working in a couple different delis. And that's where I, you know, got my taste for working in kitchens. I went off to Johnson Wales in Providence, Rhode Island. Moved out to Denver. Got a line cook position at McCormick and Schmick's in lower downtown. Fish House there. It's under a different name. You know, the older of the two Denver locations anyway.
Right.
From there, you know, I kind of worked my way through the ranks. Moved out to the Bridgewater location. I took over as executive chef in the Bridgewater McCormick and Schmick's, and about 13 months later got an opportunity to come to Manhattan, and you know that was just kind of a great honor for me to kind of get back to New York and, you know, get into a great restaurant.
Well, as we've seen on Bravo and some of the other reality shows that have to do with chefs, that people you don't have to have gone to the Culinary Institute to do well. You know, people think because you go to a cooking school that really makes the difference. And obviously from watching, you know, things coming that people are putting out there, it's not even necessary. And if you had the opportunity, the reality shows, which one would you want to compete in?
You know, that's a tough decision. I mean, you see some of these competitors on these shows, you know, sometimes doing great and sometimes really making a fool out of themselves. But, you know, Chopped is a fun show. You know, it's kind of a one show, one time deal. Get in, get out. That's a new fun one. And they are actually looking for a lot of chefs right now. But, you know, so that might be one of my top choices there.
Okay. It'll be great to see you on Chopped. I was watching it one day and I was there was a chef there, and I went, gee, her name sounds familiar. And it turned out I had reviewed the restaurant, and I'm going, oh, I hope she wins, and she won, thank goodness, you know. So I felt good about it. So I want to see someone else that I know going on there. That would be so cool. I wanted to ask you, I'm not sure whether you know about, there was this drink that I had. It's like, it's a rum kind of thing. From something like with a CH or something.
Actually, I'm not sure. I wish I had an answer for you on this.
The bar and you don't really care. Because it's the bar. Well,
we work together really well. But.
Yeah. Okay, I'll find out about that because I want to kind of get that in. It was just an interesting thing. But I'll let you, you know, deal with the food.
okay.
So, is there anything else that you want to add to this?
I really want to thank you for having me on and for coming in for dinner the other day. You know, it's really been a good time, and I'm glad we got to talk tonight. You know, hopefully we'll see you again soon, and you know, maybe we can get some of your viewers in as well to come check out our menu.
Do you know if there's any, like, special things that are coming up that you want to mention at the one in Manhattan?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, actually, we were speaking about oysters in length before, and every Monday and Tuesday night we do Dollar Oyster Night. You know, I choose the oyster, whatever looks the best and I can get a lot of, we get them, you know, now, especially now that we have our patio open. It's a great time to just come out, hang out on 52nd Street outside in the nice, you know, spring weather right now and have a few dozen oysters. We're also going to be soon starting a peel and eat night where we're on probably on Wednesday nights. We're going to have, you know, peel and eat shrimp, for a really reasonable price out on the patio, which will be a lot of fun as well.
Well, that sounds fine to me. You'll certainly get me on the Monday or Tuesday night with the oysters. That's for sure. Wow.
Yeah, we do little neck clams as well. If anybody out there likes their clams over their oysters, we're doing those as well.
Okay, cool. All right. So now, if we want to find out, what's the address is?
1285.
Yeah, 1285 Sixth Avenue, the corner of 52nd.
Right.
And what's the phone number there?
It's 212-459-1222.
Okay. And I understand that you can party there as well. They got private dining space.
Yeah, we have a private dining room downstairs. We have a fireplace lounge. We do a lot of great parties in there. Our private dining room actually has its own full-service bar, so it is definitely a great place to, host any kind of gathering that you might want to have. It's always a lot of fun to get those banquets in. It gets me away from the regular menu, and I get to play around with some other different interesting food and come out and meet the guests and, be a little social. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. All right, so hopefully I'll see you pretty soon. I would like to be there right now at the moment. and so would I'm getting emails from somebody saying I'm hungry. that looks delicious. I just printed out the menu. I'm getting these emails right now, by the way. Just thought I'd let you know that I'm getting a response as we speak.
Well, that's great. Anybody wants to come in, ask for Chef Chris. I'd love to come out and meet you and, build a new relationship. That's terrific.
Okay, great. Okay, thanks for calling in, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, thanks very much for having me on. We'll see you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Yes, the only thing I have in front of me now is the chocolate. Oh, I have the chocolate in front of me, and which is fine, but I'm now not in the mood for chocolate. Oh, goodness gracious. But when I go to the Cape, yes, Barbara, when we get to the Cape, Barbara, Nancy, we're going to the Cape, we're going to be really munching on all kinds of seafood. You know what? I would really like to. We're going to see the difference. We'll see time wise if we can get to Nantucket. Every time I think of Nantucket, I always think of that. There once was someone from Nantucket. Anyway, and so we'll check out both the bay and the sea scallops to see which we think are best. Okay, and while we're waiting for the my next caller, here we are. You got away with me. have you ever wondered about how things get into Ripley's, believe it or not, museum? Well, we're going to find out now. You're on the air.
Hi, Merle. How are you doing?
Oh, just fine. So,
very, very excited to be with you.
So tell us, first of all, now, since you're at the Ripley's, believe it or not, museum at the Times Square, would somebody, let's say, because there's more than one Ripley's, would they be finding different things at other Ripley's?
They would. We have some artifacts that double in museums, but each Ripley's, believe it or not, auditorium is unique. And the Ripley's, believe it or not, auditorium in New York City is the largest auditorium in New York City, actually in North America. We have over 20... Oh, go ahead.
It certainly seemed that way. Every time I thought that I went, that I stopped at one room, I went, oh, wait, there's a door going to another room.
Exactly. We have over 20 different galleries on two different floors, or 500 different exhibits inside the museum. So people seem to think Ripley's, believe it or not, will have a short amount of exhibits similar to the TV show, but when in fact they come and visit, they're often amazed at how much actual content and actual different forms of oddities that we have housed inside the auditorium on Times Square.
Oh, really cool. So before we go into items that are in there, how does something make it into Ripley's?
Well, the Ripley's collection currently right now, we have over 20,000 photographs, 20,000 artifacts, 130 cartoon panels, we have 50-plus attractions, so there's many different ways. Categories of, believe it or not, they could be people, actual people who can do things that are extraordinary that an average person cannot do. They could be people who have extraordinary stories about people who did extraordinary feats. We have objects and artifacts in the museum. I mean, if you have a five-leaf clover upstairs, or you have an ancient artifact from China that your great-great-great-great-grandfather has, I mean, these are the exhibits that make it inside the museum. Animals, dead animals, alive animals, two-headed animals, we have it all. For example, if there's an animal, we have a whole section inside the museum with animals who have swallowed things that should kill them, light bulbs, swords, keys, everything like that. And they've survived and they've gotten out. That's a believe it or not. We also have records. If you have a world record or you have a record of something that, for example, the most letters, like Robert Ripley, or believe it or not, inside the museum, is that there was a point in time where Robert Ripley actually received more mail than the President of the United States, which is a great feat. That's a believe it or not fact that can make it into the museum. So there's many different categories that you can pull from to actually make it into the museum. And something that's very, very unique to New York is actually the auditorium in New York City is going to start accepting artifact submissions. So people, objects, animals, records, stories, events in the news, anything that is out of the ordinary, we'll be looking for those things.
Now, who decides on it? I mean, like, does each museum make the decision?
Yes, actually, we have Edward Meyer, who is our VP of Archives. He's located in Orlando, Florida. We have a Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium Warehouse, which houses all of the artifacts submitted from people around the world. Believe it or not, we get submissions from around the world on a daily basis. Each submission is judged according to some criteria, for example, how many, if there's any duplicates of the submission, how many times a certain piece has been exposed to public viewing and stuff like that. Those are things that work towards categorizing something as a believe it or not and making it into the museum.
So I don't suppose that since the New York Sharks women's tackle football team is the longest and winningest team in the whole country that counts, does it?
That absolutely counts. That's a believe it or not.
We'll have to do something. They happen. It's the 10th year.
Merle, we'll
year
have
number
10.
We'll have to do something with that.
Absolutely. We'll have to talk off air and get you a submission into the museum. See if we can get you set up inside there.
Okay, that's really cool. So let's also, talk about, like, some really odd things that, I have to ask you about something. I totally forgot. When I was in the gift store, there was a shark in a bottle.
Yes, a shark in a jar.
Those are real sharks?
A real shark. Those are fetus sharks. They're found off the coast. They're fetus sharks from shark factories when they try to mate the sharks together. Some sharks don't make it. And those are the sharks that we bottle and we sell actually in our store. So you can actually get a shark in a jar, a real life preserved shark in a jar in our store.
Well, considering this is the New York Sharks.
Exactly, Merle.
We're gonna have to get one for that.
We most definitely will.
It could
definitely most definitely be your mascot.
I just had this picture of me walking up and down on the sidelines with this
shark in a jar. You know what, Merle? You will have a shark in a jar tomorrow, and if you want the Believe It or Not shark in a jar to be your official mascot, we'll make that happen.
There's a game on Saturday.
Is there in New York?
Yes, there's a game on Saturday. It's our next to the last home game before the end of the regular season. We won't know, of course, whether we'll go into the playoffs yet, but Saturday is the last of the home game. Next to the last, yeah.
I am going to get you that shark in the jar, and hopefully that is the luck that'll take you straight to the playoffs.
Can we overnight one?
Absolutely, Marl. I want you to have the Ripley's Believe It or Not shark in a jar when you play on Saturday, because I have a feeling there'll be some Ripley's magic behind it, and that'll give you the push to make those playoffs.
Okay, and what I'm going to do is I'm not going to, of course, say it, but the number you called in on, if I call you back after the show, that's okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll call you back. I'm going to give you my address.
I'll have your new mascot to you by tomorrow morning.
You don't know how funny this is going to be. They all think I'm crazy anyway, but this but this time it's going to be a hoot. We'll figure out what to do with the Ripley's Believe, like the fact that they've been around for 10 years. I'll tell you about some of the other things, because it's this is a team that has a lot of firsts anyway. But anyway.
Okay.
So let's go back to some of the really, what are the things that people go, oh, my God, to when they're there?
Insider Museum. Well, let me first start with the Shrunken Heads, because New York City Auditorium probably houses the largest collection worldwide of Shrunken Heads. And these are real Shrunken Heads made in the jungles of Ecuador. Certain tribes would shrink the heads of their enemies or foreigners who came into their camps and areas as a form to release their evil sins. And we have the largest collection house in the Ripley's Museum here. We have over 24 real authentic shrunken heads from those Ecuadorian tribes. That is perhaps the gem of the Ripley's Believe It or Not Times Square Auditorium. So that's just one of the galleries here that you can explore. My personal favorite, we have an albino giraffe.
Uh-huh.
It's a life-size taxidermy giraffe. It's called the Twinga Marufi. Or, in other words, the Phantom of the Savannah, and it was taken by local tribesmen in the National Park of Zimbabwe, Africa. It's over 17 feet tall, and it's only the third albino giraffe recorded in history, and we have a taxidermy on display in Ripley's Believe It or Not. And to me, that's just eye-dropping. Every time I see that, my jaw drops to see something so unique like that. Historical pieces. We have so many historical pieces that are important and have played a major piece in history. For example, we have a section of the Berlin Wall.
Exactly.
I'm sure you know it's such a despised symbol of the Cold War. I believe there's a fact that over 80 people died attempting to cross this Berlin Wall between 61 and 89. And we have a section of that wall. So just putting your hand on the wall and feeling the actual history and the peace, that it's really breathtaking. Merle, I know you experienced it, and it's just out of this world.
And what about that thing, the black hole?
The black hole, that is a favorite of children. That is actually an illusion to set up. It plays with a vision's peripheral vision, so it has to do with your side vision. So when you're walking over that bridge, you're actually not moving, but you will feel as if you are. So we often get children falling all over the place and adults and everybody running through the black hole because they can't figure out how it's done, and it's basically with black light and peripheral imaging on from viewpoint. So
Do you think someone who has better peripheral vision will experience it, get more dizzy or?
Definitely. Actually, believe it or not, we had a family come through and the father was nearsighted. He was losing his vision and the rest of his family was certified blind. And we were going through and we were doing a pilot for TLC and they went through the museum and they went through the black hole and had no effect on them whatsoever.
Wow.
That was something really, really interesting. I mean, they were walking back and forth through it, and they could see the colors moving in the motion in the black hole, but they couldn't feel the effect because if you're missing the peripheral vision of the side of your eyes, the effect's you're gonna skip the effect, and you're not going to feel the way the motion sickness and the moving as somebody with their full 20/20 vision would going through the black hole.
Yeah, I mean, I just started to walk, and I said, oh, can't do it. can't do it.
It's a difficult one.
Yeah, but people, I guess people that didn't also notice, some people didn't notice a sign that says, like, if you're chicken, go through this door.
Exactly. We have a coward's bypass to those kids coming across that bridge.
Yeah, and there was something also very cute when one of the first things you see is this thing where you can, about whether you can roll your tongue or...
Yes, the double-sided mirror. I won't talk too much about it, Merle, because I don't want it ruin the experience for some of the visitors.
Yeah,
but there's a little trick to that mirror, and for those who can do those tricks with their tongue.
Okay, we'll leave that as
watching you.
Yeah, we'll leave that as a surprise.
Exactly.
Now what is it that what's the cost?
It's $26.95 plus tax for adults.
Mm-hmm.
Children are $19.95 plus tax, ages 4 to 12 years old. 3 and under free at Ripley's, believe it or not. And we also offer student and senior rates.
Okay.
And if you're coming down to the museum, we also offer live sideshow performances, which is a cherry on top to the whole Ripley's experience. The Ripley sideshow performances are actual live sideshow performers, or AKA so-called freaks, who do things that make you believe it or not. So we offer these performances daily from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. On weekends, we have extended offers. You can check our website, www.ripleysnewyork.com, for more information on performance scheduling. But this is something you have to see. These are real New Yorkers doing things that you will not believe your eyes.
Yeah, I saw one of those, and okay, let him do that. Put that down his throat.
Exactly.
Yeah, or put the nail in through his nose.
Exactly. We have that. That's Albert the Hammerhead. We have he hammers nails in his nose, swallows balloons. We have Nelson the Painproof Man. We have Angelica the Fire Eater. We have a whole array of performers, and these performances are going on daily throughout the summer. And I mean, it's just an added value to the Ripley's experience to really come in contact with these, believe it or not, sideshows, because believe it or not, Merle, this is a fact dating way back that Robert Ripley, who was the originator of Ripley's Believe It or Not, actually began Ripley's Believe It or Not around sideshow performances in New York City.
Okay.
Exactly. So we're kind of throwing it back old school and bringing back the Robert Ripley vibe to the Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium, actually offering live sideshow performances. So that is something really, really special, and I encourage all your listeners to come check us out throughout the summer and see these performances.
Now, I also understand, is this all the time? Like when the performers do the sideshow performers do their thing, they give a discount.
They do, yes. After each sideshow performance, either Albert or one of our MCs will hand out a discounted card to all the people who witnessed the unbelievable there. And they can get into the museum for a discounted admission just by viewing our show. So that's something else. If you come down, view our sideshow, you'll get a discounted admission, and you'll get to come into the museum.
That's cool. I have to say, this is the first time I've ever been to a Ripley's. And honestly, it was the first time, and I'm thinking, oh, right, whatever. And then, I brought my Aunt Gertie with me. I remembered that.
Okay.
For my Aunt Gertie, who's like, she's in her 80s.
Did she enjoy it?
She loved it. She kept saying the same thing to me. She goes, oh, I thought it ended here. There's another door. Oh, there's another door.
People have no idea we're that large. I mean, we're spanning two floors. There's over 20 galleries packed full of over 500 different artifacts and sites. So people seem to think Ripley's, believe it or not, they'll relate us to a TV show of people doing actual feats, believe it or not. But in actuality, we have a huge amount of interactive displays, video displays, archival displays, things that could keep you busy for hours and hours on end. I mean, bro, we've had people come to the museum and spend an entire day. I mean, it's the perfect spot on a rainy day just to come and explore everything inside. And another thing, it's so educational, bro. I mean, there's facts that you'll learn inside our museum that you will learn nowhere else. And that is something also that's very unique to the Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium. And I'm glad you said that, Ripley's Believe It or Not, your first visit was to the New York Auditorium, Merlin, because I'm so happy you got to experience the Ripley's Believe It or Not, because we're the largest one in North America.
Oh, that's so cool. Do you have, all you need to have is a little cafeteria there, too. That's what you need.
Yeah, exactly. Merle, you know what? That's in my suggestion box.
Oh, okay.
I will definitely pass that along because I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, because you need to take a break and sit down and have something to eat and then continue on. Well, of course, this way you can. Now, let me ask you another question. Let's say somebody comes in there and they say, well, I'm hungry. Can I go out and come back in? Can they get their hand stamped or anything?
Absolutely. If there's somebody specifically who loves their museum that much and wants to come back, absolutely. Just bring your receipt. We'll stamp your receipt, and they can come back later on that day and continue to enjoy everything that we have to offer.
So, what's the hours, by the way?
We're open from 9 a.m. in the morning until 1 a.m. every single day. Our last ticket is sold at midnight, so you just have to slip in before midnight because we give guests at least an hour to experience everything we have. So last ticket sold at midnight every single day. These are daily hours, 9 a.m. to 1 a.m.
So you can go there. You could start, and then you can leave, go have lunch, go see a show, and come back.
Absolutely, Mo. Absolutely.
That's really fabulous.
Yeah, you know what? Because there's so much content inside, Merle.
Yeah.
That we totally understand when people need a break. Got to catch a breath, take a little break, come back, and enjoy everything else we have to offer. That's something that we most definitely want to make sure that every single guest coming to the Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium gets to experience fully everything that we have to offer. So it's important to us that a guest gets full experience.
You know, it's funny because I was sitting down to try to figure out what to write, you know, and it's really hard to write to tell people to go, and because there's so much, you know, and to explain this, it's so much easier if somebody can just listen to this interview.
I know, Merle. I can't even begin. That's when you said a few artifacts. I mean, with over 500 different artifacts inside the museum, and some of them being videos, some of them actually being interactive, where you can touch and interact with them. I mean, you could be in there for days, and it spans so many different topics. I mean, we have educational content, cultural content, historical content. I mean, the content that we have inside our museum spans so many different areas. I mean, to pinpoint it down to a certain group of interest topics, I mean, we have everything. I mean, there's something for everything inside. And we like to use a little term here at Ripley's, believe it or not, called cradle to the grave, meaning that we have something for babies all the way up until adults. We have every single thing that'll catch somebody's interest level.
Yeah, that's That's really cool. Well, I'm gonna probably come back. Well, I'm gonna come back. We'll talk to you later.
All right, well, yeah.
Okay.
We definitely will set that up. We'll set up another visit for you and your aunt. Come down, enjoy Ripley's, believe it or not. Definitely get you that shark in a jar.
Okay, I'll call you back. I'm gonna end the show early anyway because you were the last person I needed to interview.
Okay, Merle. Sounds
so
good.
I'll call you back in a few minutes, right after I end the show. Okay?
Great, Merle. It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Same here. Take care. Talk
to
you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yes, I'm going to end the show. That was so cool. You got to get to Ripley's, believe it or not. It was a hoot. I was really, really, I was just surprised. I have to get the shark in a bottle. I can't wait to do this. Okay, so I'm going to end the show right now. I tell you what I'm doing next week, only I have no idea. I'll play it by ear. Who knows? Who knows what I'm doing day to day, especially with these little monsters over here, these cute little kitties. Everybody, have a great day, evening, whatever it is you are, and talk to you next week, and enjoy.